Monday. Yeah, that's the job get who's back. It's Monday, July 3rd, 2017, and Thinking Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church, and we have an outstanding show for you all today. I'm excited to be back in the studio. Man, it's going to be a good time today. I hope y'all are ready. Today's conversation is going to be hot. 10 church member contradictions that frustrate pastors. 10 church member contradictions that frustrate pastors. This is going to be good. I'm excited about it, and I hope y'all are too. As always, it's your boy, your host, Mr. David L. King. Right now, I'm in the studio by myself. I guess I'll find out where everybody has been. I'm in the studio by myself for the moment. I sound hollow. Okay. All right. But let's check this out. Y'all. This is what's going on. Let me give you the rundown on how you can be a part of today's show. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. If you are listening already on the line, just push 1 and you can be a part of today's broadcast. If you are on social media, so are we, simply go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. We would love to hear from you that way. If you are on Twitter, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. We would love to hear from you that way. If you want to email us, you can email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. That's takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We would love to hear from you. The live streams are up and running. Ustream.tv. You can find us there. Again, that's Ustream.tv. You can find us there. Facebook Live. Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us there. Real simple, man. Real simple. And then if you want to email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Last but not least, you can subscribe to my podcast by simply going to your iTunes account or however you decide to download podcasts. Just do a search for Taking Limits Off with David and Ron, and we will find you. You can find us there. Hey, y'all, let's take a quick break. Make sure the sound is working. And we're going to be right back, man. Y'all stay blessed. GTL. Oh, peace.
Well, when I think of His grace and His mercy, just one word comes to mind, and that word is amazing. Company? Yeah. amazing.
We are back. Hopefully we get the sound system, the sound issue taken care of. I'm not sure exactly what's going on. I'm trying to get it figured out. Understand the sound is a little hollow, and I'm not really sure why, but we can try to get this thing figured out momentarily. We'll try to get this thing figured out. But anyway, man, look, I hope y'all are blessed. I hope everybody's doing well. I hope everybody's feeling good. So many others, and this is Dean Wall, Keith Gillum, Felicia Martin, Mark Atkins, what's up, sir? Anitra Howard, so many others, Yolanda King, and good time, Keith Gordon. Man, I'm so excited that you all have decided to join with us today. Hey, look, y'all, let me say this real quick. I am so happy and proud of the job that, big shout out real quick to everybody in the TTLO staff for the work they did on Friday, my producer, Tanya Melton, Jalen, who stopped by and helped out, junior producer, whatever. I hate that term, junior, anything, because it sounds real churchy and real bogus, but I'm going to use it. Junior producer, assistant producer, how about that? Our assistant producer, Jalen Melton, who also came by and helped out. But real big kudos, man, to pastors Angela Johnson and Pastor Cornelius Williams, for coming in and sitting in these chairs. I appreciate you all so much. I was able to sit back and watch some of the show, but it was great. I know you guys had some technical difficulties, and you guys were like champs. You followed through with the process, and everything just went well. And everything that I've heard nothing but good stuff. We got to see like the first 35, 40 minutes of the show, but you guys did an awesome job. I'm proud of you guys. Thank you so much for standing in the gap, as they say. I appreciate you all. I really do, man. I do. And it's good to have people. It's good to have people around you who you can trust to do the work that you have with them. Stand in the place and represent well. Let me say that, and represent very well. So again, I'm excited about what happened in this place on that day. Big shout out to them, and hopefully you all got something from it, man. I do. I hope y'all got something from it, because it was real. It was an enlightening conversation, from what I can hear. It was ready. It was thoughtful. It was thought provoking, and that's all we ever want, man. That's all we ever want. When we do any type of any shows in this manner, that's what we're looking for. And hello to you too. Who is that? Janice Jones. God bless you. It's just amazing, and I'm excited to be around people who are about the business of furthering God's work. It's not about, I treat it like church, and I saw y'all chime in, and y'all are still watching and listening. And I treat it like church. It shouldn't matter who's preaching. You ought to come for a word, and you ought to come with expectations that you're going to get one. And it's just good to know that you have, that there are people who you can depend on to step in when needed. And that's just a wonderful thing. And guess what? It won't be the last time. And I appreciate it. So we're gonna keep giving people that platform, because people who are people who are able to help out in situations like that, those are the type of people you want around you. Those are the type of people that you want to partner with. And again, I'm excited about this. So again, thank you to my producer, Latanya, for pulling everything together in the background, and Jalen. And then thank you again to Pastor Angela Johnson and Prophet Cornelius and Prophet Cornelius Williams were standing in for me on last Friday. It was a good time. It was a good time. I hope you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was good.
So look, man, so much stuff is going on. I wanted to give some feedback. So real quick, I don't want to do too much of political stuff today, but our local people, our local senators and all of these people, they are meeting today, our state senators, right now. They're still, you know, they got called back in from session, and so they are still out trying to get a budget, to get a budget in place for this crazy state that we live in. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's sad that in a time like this, you can't get people to do what's necessary for people. Let me say that again. You can't get the people who were elected to do what's necessary for people. And that's very disheartening. It's very disheartening to come to that conclusion. But here's the situation. These people don't really care. When the truth comes out, you know, it's funny. We laughed about Kanye West. Remember during the Hurricane Katrina crisis, and Kanye West was standing up there with I forget who the actor was that was standing next to Kanye, but Kanye made the statement, "George Bush don't care about white people, don't care about black people." Y'all remember that? Y'all remember Kanye said that? And everybody had this look like, "Oh my God, why would he do that? Why would he do that? Why would he do that?" But I would go so far as to say, these people in office, they don't care about what you do and don't have. Because if they did, they would stop fighting amongst themselves and do what was necessary to pass the budget. We have hit year three in this state, with our budget. Year three, y'all. We have hit year three in this state without a budget. And it's sad, it's horrible. I don't even know what other adjectives I can use. It's deplorable, it's mean, it's just downright wrong that we can go this long in this state. What's going on with my brother Mark? Mark wanted to come on the show. Mark Atkins, my brother, Reverend, the right Reverend. Mark B. Atkins Senior. I'm waiting on you, man. I'm telling you, come with your pastor, you come with Bishop, and y'all come on here, man. I'm waiting on you. Come on. I'm waiting on you, man. See, there. Yeah, and Angel Lee, God bless you. It's inhumane. What's up, Sister Pat Hicks? What's going on? But it's just crazy, man. It's really sad that we don't. That these people are down in Springfield, supposedly making decisions for you and I, but they're taking their key time in doing it, and they don't care that people are suffering. They don't care that businesses are failing. They don't care that people are leaving our state. People are leaving the state of Illinois in excess, and not excess. The word I want to use is excess. People are. Yeah, I correct myself real quick. Yeah. We have an inside joke about the errors that's made around here in speech. So when I catch myself, I correct it real quick so that way they don't get the mess with me. So, but people are leaving this state in excess. They are running from this state because of all the turmoil here. Businesses are not clamoring to come here. And you would think with all of the money that's spent here in our city alone, that businesses would run to come to this place. What's going on now, Lee Johnson? My grammar, what did we say? See, old people like me, we say grammar school. Or is it elementary school? Which one is it? See, but what y'all call it? Grammar school? I don't even know what I would call grammar school. Because you call it grammar. Is that what it is? But my elementary schoolmate and one of the best photographers I know, Natalie Johnson just joined us. What's going on, my sister? Y'all looking for some photos? We need some free love right now. We need to charge you no marketing advertising fee. Y'all looking for some good, looking for a good photographer? Natty J Photography. Look her up real quick. Look her up and check her out. She's excellent, excellent photographer. You all haven't seen some of her work. You can go to her page. What? Man, we are moving to Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. But if you haven't looked up, if you're looking for a photographer for a wedding, prom, bar mitzvah, I think she'd do it all. You do bar mitzvah, Natalie? But we are, I'll tell y'all right now, it is absolutely, she is one of the best photographers out. If you haven't, y'all go to my page, my Mr. King page, or my Nanny King page, look at my photos, the professional ones that were done. They were done by her. She did an excellent, excellent job. And she's reasonably priced, but she does amazing work, and she's timely. And that's the thing I like about it. She's timely, and she's, watch this, y'all, she's professional. She's timely, and she's professional. Let me say that again, because we always talking about supporting black-owned businesses. Let me tell y'all why y'all should support this one. She's timely, let me say it again, and she's professional. I'll say that one more time for my other black business owners. She's timely, and she's professional. So if you're looking for a photographer, you can definitely look her up at Natty J Photography. You can go to my page, go to her page. She's excellent. And they, you know, have her own. Have her own. And her husband, you know, he's a pastor over here on the west side of Chicago, in the heart of the west side as well. And I would love to have him on, actually. Maybe that might not be a bad idea. Tanya, fuck that out. See if we can get them on. I just thought about that. That's a story to tell. The connection, how we go back. That I think that makes for good radio / TV / live. seriously, I think it makes for good because you can hear the story of how, you know, we were in elementary school together. So just to see how small the world has become right now, and how we, you know, even after she did the photos, I think it was even after she did my photos, we realized that we were classmates. Didn't even know that. And then the connection between her husband and our seventh grade teacher, which is crazy. So it's just amazing. It's amazing. It's an amazing story that I think would be fun to tell over radio. So Tanya, see if you can make that happen, man. If you can help us, she can come on and she can talk about her photography business, and then they can also talk about their the Horizons for Youth deal where they work at. I believe that they the ones who run that, help me out. I'm slow. Do they run the right for you, or that someone else who just work with the organization? But either way, it's I think would be really, really good radio to have them on and sit in and talk to us and tell us about their ministry and everything else. I know they have a passion for children and a passion for youth, and people like that need to be applauded at any time we can. So it's just something I really think that we really, really enjoy. So look, y'all, so the 4th is coming up, right? Let me ask y'all this question. 4th of July coming up, right? Now, how many people that's listening right now? I know I got people listening everywhere, you know, whether it's Blog Talk, Ustream. In fact, I mean, I didn't know about Ustream people. Y'all, are y'all there? Ustream, hey, y'all, what's going on? What's going on? I see you. My Ustream people. Let me ask this question. 4th of July is coming up, right? It's another time for it's another time for what we like to call barbecue season. Barbecue season. That's what we call it, barbecue season. And I'm curious to know who are the barbecuers? Are there any real barbecuers listed? Like, or are you one who just shows up to eat? Huh? That's the question. Are you actually going to barbecue, or are you just showing up to eat? That's a real question. Because I know some of y'all, and don't get me wrong, if you can't barbecue, watch this now, if you can't barbecue, it's okay. It's okay. I would rather you be honest and say, man, look, I'm going to not on the grill. I ain't trying to be on the grill. I just show up when they tell me. And, you know, are you the one who brings the paper plate and the pot to the picnic? Because that's because I know people try to make light of you, but your job is important. I'm trying to get y'all some help with the 4th of July picnic situation. Your job, if you are not a cook, if you are not one who makes a wonderful side dish, then if you are one who is asked to bring flatware and paper products, then, oh, God. Tighthead, I thought that said side chick, but it says official side thick. You right. You are right. Exactly. She know her role. She is a side fixer. And there's nothing wrong. Let me help y'all. There's nothing wrong with being a side fixer. There's nothing wrong with being a side fixer. What you want to do is people who can actually cook, people who can actually cook, you want them doing the cooking. And then those who can do sides, and you make good sides, you know your sides, your coleslaw, I'm not a fan of coleslaw, but your coleslaw, your spaghetti, your, what else you got, your corn, what's the other side dishes for the 4th of July? Y'all help me, I'm drawing a blank, and normally I can grab food off the top of my head real quick, but you know, what's your other side dishes for picnic? I don't even know, that's bad business, I can't even think right now. But you know, your all of your little side items. But I'm talking about those of you who, my brother Mark said, man, I just show up to eat and wait on your church's picnic. Right! July, what's the date? Let me get the date right. It's July 29th. I told you to come out. Potato salad. Thank you, Preacher Mark. Potato salad. Tuna salad. All that stuff. All those things. If you make good side dishes, don't take your job lightly. But who I want to talk to at this moment are the people who are responsible for buying the paper plates and the plastic forks, the plastic knives, the plastic spoons. I want to talk to the people who are responsible for buying the paper plates, baked beans. There we go. That's now y'all coming. I want to talk to y'all. The plate that you put the food on is very important. The plate that you're hosting the food on, that you're putting the food on, is very important. Because if y'all go get them, now y'all know they got them, y'all seen them paper plates. The ones that don't even look like they don't even have a good rim around it. They're just like, they really look like hard cardboard. I need y'all to go get, y'all can't be flimsy. I need you to go get some hefty, either a hefty or them good Chinette plates. Now, if you serving bogus food, huh? If you serving bogus food, then yes, put your food on a bogus plate. Right, no dollar store plate. You need support. And the way some of y'all eat, y'all know y'all can't pack that food on them little dollar store plates. I need folks to have real good plate that can support barbecue meat. Huh? Y'all don't hear me. I've seen so many accidents at picnic. Now, I'm not one who's a big fan of eating outside. I'm not. However, on the occasions that I do, my plate has to support the food ministry. Can I help somebody? What's the point of having a good food ministry if your paper plate ministry is bad? Can I talk to anybody that knows anything about the paper plate ministry? Now, see, unfortunately, my mama don't know what paper, what how to do it about paper plate. My mama, if you go to my mama's house on the 4th of July and she barbecuing, we eat on real plates. That's just the way my mama works. That's just the way she, my mindset is. She'll get out 37 dishes. I don't understand it. She just will not eat on a paper plate. She just won't do it. It just ain't going to happen. I don't care. She ain't going to do it. But I want to talk about the paper plate and the plastic cup ministry. I'm going to need y'all to get the real red solo cup. The flimsy cups that if you pick, here's the deal. You know, you pick up a good plastic cup and your drink is in that, whatever your drink might be. Because here's the deal. Y'all might not get mad for spilling a little Kool-Aid. Huh? But some of y'all red cups got something more than Kool-Aid in it. Can I talk to some people that will tell the truth? Some of y'all red cups got more than Kool-Aid in it, and y'all cups need to be able to support your beverage. And you know, when you got the cheap plastic cup, when you go to pick it up, right, and say it's a little bit more than half full, you go to grab it and pick it up, it squeezed together. And all your liquids and stuff fall, you know what I'm saying? But if you get that good solo red cup, come on now, y'all don't act funny with me. Now, right. If you're in charge of getting cups, don't you come with them dollar store white styrofoam basement candy store icy cups. Huh? talking about. But see, y'all, see, some of y'all is trifling. Some of y'all is trifling, and y'all will show up with them dollar, with them 25-cent icy cup cups. Y'all are one of them styrofoam ones that y'all put the Kool-Aid in, and you freeze it, and then y'all, as y'all suddenly, y'all start peeling the side of the cup off. Don't act like y'all. See, some of y'all too, hope y'all don't tell on y'all self. But y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't you come showing up at the picnic with them white styrofoam cups. Huh? Don't do it. Don't do it. Them little cups. Y'all know what cup I'm talking about. Them little white, the ones. Okay, the ones that y'all that they serve at the church. Y'all know at every function, it's them little white cups. Them ain't picnic cups. Don't nobody want to see them at the picnic. Don't nobody want to see, right. Mark said, I'm bringing my own cup. Right. But I'm just saying, if you are responsible for bringing cups for everyone to use, bring the red. And the, now watch this. Now, y'all know they got the cheap red cups. See, I'm going to get myself in trouble. You ready? Thank you, Pat. I'm trying to educate the people. We are a show that is about education. Right? I'm really hoping that y'all don't get them cheap red cups. Y'all know the ones I'm talking about. Them little flimsy. It either needs to be that solo cup, because the solo got ridges on it. Y'all, come on, somebody help me. Look at the name and say ridges. Uh-huh. Solo got them ridges on the cup. Uh-huh. And when you get one of them, see, when you get one of them solo cups, you ain't got to worry about your stuff running over. Huh? See, at the picnic is the one place where you don't want your cup running over. Come on, somebody, y'all just missed that. I'm trying not to have somebody embarrassed. And now, mind you, I got a lot of stuff to do, but I normally used to be a picnic hopper. I used to go and frequent all the picnics, all the cookouts. I don't do that much no more because I don't like everybody cooking. But I used to, but don't make me come to your picnic, your function, and you got these little cheap flimsy cups. And the last thing on the barbecue dinnerware, y'all can't get them. Don't go get them dollar store forks. Them dollar store spoons and them dollar store knives. First of all, let me help y'all. Don't even buy the spoons. We don't need them. Spoons are not necessary. We don't need no spoons. They're not necessary. Come on. Now, I'm trying to help y'all. Them little cheap, y'all know that what I should have did was brought some examples up here. I wish I had somebody here that could run down to the kitchen. I should have brought some examples in here. Because, you know, them little flimsy white, y'all know the ones I'm talking about, them white ones. Where the fork, you ain't got, it's like you can't even stick a tender piece of meat. Come on, somebody. You can't even stick a tender piece of meat with the fork. Or you're liable to break off one of the stems in the fork. Y'all don't give me, y'all actually brand new. I know y'all super Christians. Y'all been saved y'all whole life. Y'all, you know, y'all been buying it. I'm talking about, y'all know you can't get, okay. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about? Y'all know when y'all go to Uncle Rick, Harold, in the little hood joint to get y'all a little food. The fork that they give you, you know the one that you can eat that nasty coleslaw with, that little white fork. Don't buy them for the picnic. Don't be, now I'm on your street. You know what I'm talking about, right? Don't buy them for your picnic. Can't nobody eat with them. Can't nobody eat with them. What we need spoons for? Unless y'all got dessert. Now, if you got dessert, yes, you're going to need spoons. I'm sorry. If you got dessert, you're going to need spoons. But if your dessert, now some dessert don't, you know, if you got ice cream, I guess, but I don't know how you serve ice cream at the picnic because it's on milk. But you know, I'm trying to understand. But you can't have the little flimsy, you know, the little cheap white fork and that cheap white spoon and that cheap knife that can't cut nobody or nothing. I mean, you can't, the fork's so cheap, you can't even stick it in some string there. Y'all know it's true. y'all going to try to pick up the strength and the fork just bend back down into the plate? Right. Those, that is not the material that we want to use as a pivot. So and as you go now, I'm going to be looking for y'all. I know some of y'all are going to be at some different functions, and I don't care if it's at your family house. You need to tell them the truth. Look here. Yeah, and look, y'all tell them, you like these folk around the church do. Dan said, this is y'all family, right? So that way you don't get no trouble. Y'all tell them when y'all listen to the big name. Dana has said that we can't use it. That way y'all put it off on me. I will take the blame. I'm used to it. Just tell them, Dana has said we can't use these little cheap paper, these styrofoam cups. Dana has said we can't use these little cheap, you know. Come on now. Now here's the question. I'm asking one question about the food. Number one. How y'all feel about green ethnic? Green. Y'all know green, like green. Y'all know collards, mustard, turnips. How y'all feel about green at the picnic? Anybody just show up with a pot of green at the picnic? Like, I mean, just come with a trough of green. Do anybody just, how y'all feel about eating green, you know, collard greens with your barbecue meat at the picnic? Thanksgiving and Christmas only. What? So you don't want no greens at the picnic. Really? You don't want nobody just to come up with a good pot of mustard and turnip or collards at the picnic. You don't want some spicy collard greens with your, no, she's saying Thanksgiving and Christmas only. Really? I never seen black people turn down green. I'm sorry. Good green. Let me rephrase that. Good green. Oh, God. I'm going to try to give myself a joke. But we want good green as a picnic. If you're bringing them, don't, you know. And when I say good green, here's the prerequisite for good green. Number one, they got to be washed. Look, don't nobody want your gritty green. Don't nobody want no gritty green. I don't want to get my fork and be eating your green, and then I feel like I fell and tripped on the beach because it's sand and grit and stuff in my mouth. Don't nobody want no gritty green. Then, please make sure your greens are cooked all the way through. I don't want no crunchy greens. Don't nobody want no greens where you didn't, first of all, you didn't pick your greens properly. Let me go back. Number two, make sure your greens are picked properly. Huh? Come on now. But she said put this in the washing machine. I'm done. At least you're on timeout. No comments for 5 minutes. No comments from you for 5 minutes. You're on timeout. She said put it in the washing machine. You are on timeout for 5 minutes. No more comments from you. But when you pick your green, I don't want a whole bunch of crunchy stems in my green. I shouldn't have a stem in every, but I understand one or two slip through. I understand that. I get it. I do. I understand. But don't nobody want that in the green. So remember, number one, make sure they're clean. Number two, make sure they're picked properly. I can't say it over the air. If I say it over the air, I'm going to get myself in trouble. But I'm just trying to tell you right now. Number one, make sure your greens are clean. Number two, make sure they are picked properly. Okay? Number two. Then number three, make sure they are cooked the right amount of time. Y'all know some greens are tougher than others. That means you might have to cook them a couple more hours than you normally would cook your greens. Sometimes it just depends on where they grew up at, whether you're right, where your greens grew up, not where they were grown, where they grew up, right. Where your greens were grown at, that's what, it may take a little longer. So your greens may take 3, 4, 5 hours to cook, to get them tender and to get them right. You know, you ain't no such thing as too tender, so you got to cook them down. And then last but not least, please make sure your greens are seasoned. Don't nobody want no bland greens. Nobody want that. Don't nobody want no bland greens. I'm just saying. So legit, I'm looking forward on Wednesday, while y'all going to the house, I want y'all to highlight for me. This is your task. This is your task. Highlight for me two good items that was at your cookout. Two good items, two, right? And you know if they was good if everybody came back and kept eating. And then I need you to highlight one item that was questionable. See, y'all. highlight one item that was questionable. I'm just saying, one item at your cookout that was questionable. You know, that wasn't quite right. So let me know. What y'all do? Now, do y'all like these, and this really going to be the last thing about the side dish. Do y'all like all these different crazy salads and stuff? Like the, what is it, pasta salad? I'm not a fan of any of them, so let me start off by saying that so nobody gets offended. I'm not a fan of any salad. I might eat potato salad, but I'm real funny with it. I don't know. Macaroni salad, I think it's disgusting. It just don't sound right. I'm good. I don't want that. But pasta salad, what's the other one? Seven layer salad. Is that the right, was that what it's called? Wait a minute. Hold on. What's going on Facebook? These is all on Facebook. Are y'all still talking about putting the machines in the greens in the washing machine? Is that the conversation y'all having on the side? Because y'all gonna cut that mess out. Because I'm sorry, ain't no to each his own. What washing machine are you putting greens in? And then here's my next question. What washing machine do y'all have? Do you have a separate washing machine? Did you buy a separate, like, name tag machine that's specifically used for greens? Because I don't want greens that you wash in the machine with your drawer. I need some correction. I need some understanding. Help me, Holy Ghost, somebody right now. Is that what we talking about, the eating on with the machine? Or are we talking about people eating stems on the green? I'm just curious what y'all talk about. If you talk about putting your greens, washing your greens, they are from the garden and they can hold up different machines. What kind of machine? I need to know what kind of machine. They got a machine for greens. Because I don't want no green that my socks and my gym clothes was in. I'm good. Let's just put this on the notice. This is why Felicia is on punishment. If we have a radio show, what they call a potluck, Felicia is not allowed to bring green. Amen to the church. Amen, church. Amen, church. If Felicia's not allowed to bring greens to the church, to the TTLO. She is not allowed to bring greens to the TTLO cookout / to the cookout / potluck. If you put your greens in the machine, now I need you to explain what kind of machine. Is it an actual washing machine, or if you've got some kind of contraption that just, you know, made for something that we tell the rest of us that have to wash greens by hand and not whatever. I'm sorry. But get back to these salads. This seven-layer salad. These, you know, with all that stuff in. You know, y'all see this? It's got, like, peas and stuff. I mean, what's in the seven-layer salad? Where's my producer? What's in the seven-layer salad? Is you on the line? Is you available? Where is you at? You is not on the line. Oh, did she push one? Now, my favorite niece in the world, did you push one on purpose? Or is you like trying to, is it a mistake? Just push one again if it was a mistake. So we put it up. Nobody will put you on the ad. I mean, you ain't really trying to be on the ad. But what's in the seven-layer salad? Can somebody help me? What's in the seven? Is it different with everybody's salad? Is everybody's salad different? Or what? I'm trying to understand what's the ingredients. Or does everybody do different ingredients for the seven-layer salad? I'm looking for some help because I don't know what's in that. I've seen it done. My mom used to make it. and it just looked like stuff that I did not want to eat. It just was too much in it, too much going on in the seventh layer salad. And then we got this, there's this lady here at the church. She makes a salad, and she called it everything but the kitchen sink salad, because literally, she put everything in the salad. And I have, I'm going to just put that out there for y'all. She put everything in the salad. I'm trying to get some help. Y'all don't want to help me. Can somebody tell me what's in the seven layer salad? Don't nobody know. Or y'all don't eat. Is that why nobody's telling me what it is? Y'all like me? Y'all eat the seven layer salad? Because I don't know what's in. I do know some lettuce in there. I know that much. There's lettuce. Bam. Okay, here we go. How come I see the comments on that side? Oh, here we go. Green peas, cheese, chicken, eggs, cucumber, and bacon. Green peas, cheese, chicken, eggs, cucumber, bacon. And I'm assuming lettuce makes the seventh layer. And we layer that up. Is that what we do? I'm good. That's too much going on. That sounds like bathroom issues. That don't sound right. I'm good. And then what's the dressing? What's the dressing? Is there some sort of dressing that's added? Is there some sort of salad dressing that's added to the seven layer salad? I'm trying to get educated, help people. What type of dressing? Are we using just basic Italian? Can I be hood and put some Thousand Island on it? What's the salad dressing that goes ranch? What? I'm done. Are you serious? Ranch dressing goes on the seven layers? I'm done. I'm good. I can't go. Okay. I'm done. I'm moving on. Y'all see, now y'all just made the whole conversation. Now it just turned nasty. Y'all brought ranch into the conversation. We're moving on. I think ranch dressing is up to death. I think ranch dressing and, dressing, no dressing. Mayo is the layer. Every one of them is different. Oh, so y'all using mayo. What's up, Apostle Hester? What's going on, sir? Still waiting to get you in this chair. Still waiting. Everybody is different. Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to move on. Listen, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into today's conversation. 10 church member contradictions that frustrate pastors. 10 church member contradictions that frustrate pastors. If y'all haven't hit the share button, please hit the share button, man. This is going to be good. I'm excited about it. I hope you are, too. We're going to be right back. Y'all stay blessed, man. TTL. Oh! It's going to be good. Hey.
Lift your worship. Favor in your sight, Lord.
y'all, we got these really good artists, man. I'm going to jump right into it. It's going to be good. We had this really good article, and I think you all are going to really, really get something out of it. Because it's going to be stuff that we've heard before. If I got any passes on the line, it's definitely going to be some stuff that you've heard before. If I got members on the line, if you're a member of a church, this is definitely something that you've heard before. And I think you're really going to get some enjoyment out of this conversation. The article is entitled 10 Church Member Contradictions That Frustrate Pastors. 10 Church Member Contradictions That Frustrate Pastors. Y'all keep it going. We're going to keep the conversation going. God bless you. For those of you who just joined in, John Morris, God bless you, Ethan Copeland. Bless you. Thank you for watching. Roy Summers, what's going on, my bowling buddy? What's going on, man? How's that knee? I know you had that, man, everything. You know what? Knee surgery. And that's something I would love to get you know any doctors like doctors who work on, you know, orthopedic doctors and surgeons. I would love to, because it seems like knee surgeries and hip surgeries, man, are on the rise. Like, everybody I know is having a hip replacement, knee replacement. I mean, just everybody. It's just like what's going on, man? But I'm praying for you, man. I saw you back up on your feet. Been praying for you. Hope everything's good, man. Looking forward to being on the lane with you in a few months, man. Good having you here, man. My good brother, Fort Summer. Shout out to you, man. Praying for your family, man. I know you all are still going through that grieving process. So still praying for your family, too. Definitely let your wife and everybody know. Well, here we go, y'all. Some church members, this is what the writer said. And again, here's today's conversation. If you haven't hit the share button, please do so. 10 church member contradictions that frustrate pastors. This is what the writer says. He says, some church members are walking contradictions, and they frustrate church pastors and leaders. And here are some of them. Here we go. Y'all ready? Number one. Let me get this in here. Anybody? Do this. All right. That. So here we go. Number one says this. Those who point out problems but refuse to be part of the solution. Those who point out problems but refuse to be part of the solution. The writer says this. They are experts at seeing the wrong, but they have no interest in helping fix the problem. Y'all know people like that? I'm just curious. Y'all have people like that in y'all church? They can point out all of the problems, but when it comes down to solutions, they are nowhere to be found. I know y'all know what I'm talking about. These people are, they got an answer for everything, I'm going to get it together, y'all. I'm having problems with the computer. There we go. They got an answer for everything, and they never are available for solutions. But they're real quick to tell you what's wrong with any and everything in the church. Again, they point out problems, but they're never problem solutions. And what they don't realize is they're pointing out problems does not help anything. You only cause more problems when all you do is point out problems in the process. And let me tell you, those people can be some of the most problematic that you will ever come across. Because their goal is to show you what you're doing wrong. That's their goal. Their goal is to show you what you're doing wrong. And the minute they do it, then they step away and just watch to see how you've been. This is how they work. Well, you know, this been going on for a long time. And ain't nobody never did nothing about it. And then they walk away. And then watch this. 9 times out of 10, they don't even tell you they're part in it in the first place. Huh? They don't even tell you their part in the problem in the first place. But see, they want to point it out as we do these, like you said, around here, they'll put you out on the great send-off mission. They'll tell you that there's this great mass problem that's afoot, but they won't tell you what needs to be done to get said problem fixed, because they don't have any advice, because their job is strictly to point out the issue. Their job was never to help. Their job was never to help get beyond said issue. This is good. Number two says this. Again, we're talking about church member contradictions that frustrate pastors. Number two says this. Those who attend only occasionally, but they seem to know all the stuff going on. Y'all got info like that at your church? They barely come, but they know everything about everybody and about everything that's going on in the church. The writer says this. You think they'd be out the loop, but not necessarily. So you don't come to church, but you know everything about what's going on in that church. You come once a month, or every other month. Come on now, y'all know I ain't lying. You come once a month, or every other month. You don't attend none of the actual ministry items in the church. You don't come to Bible study. You don't come to Sunday school. You don't come when teaching is taking place. But you come, you show your faith, and then you disappear. But you seem to know everything about the inner workings of the church. Huh? I love it. Joan Morris said, there's a lot of people out there. Yeah. A lot of people out there. What purpose do you serve? You don't come. You really don't support the ministry. But what you're doing is, you really don't support the ministry. You're simply here as someone who you're just here to further the issues. You're not doing anything to help further or push or progress the ministry. You're here strictly for your own agenda or to push something else. I love that. That was number two. We're going to keep it moving, y'all. We're going to keep it moving. Number three says this. And again, we're talking about 10 church member contradictions that frustrate pastors. Number three, those who give but threaten to pull their giving every time they don't like something. I know I ain't talking about nobody on the phone. I know I ain't talking about nobody listening. I know I ain't talking about none of y'all on Facebook, because y'all are good Christians. I know I'm not talking about y'all. But for the other folks, let me read it again. Those who give but threaten to pull their giving every time they don't like something. In that case, they're not really giving. They're using their dollars as a weapon. Yeah. Yeah. And let me, can I help somebody? The only reason these people have power in the church is because you allow their gift, to dictate their position in the church. I don't care how big a check you write in the church. If your heart ain't right and your spirit ain't right, guess what? Thank you for your contribution. Now go find yourself a seat. Huh? I know this probably ain't the most, this ain't the most politically correct way to say this. But just because you can write a $1,000 check every month on Sunday, don't give you the right to down and denigrate other members of the church. Because your $1,000 that you gave begrudgingly, the $1,000 check that you wrote begrudgingly is not, guess what? I'll take the $25 from the sister who sacrificed her $25 before I take your $1,000. Huh? Don't get me started. I'll take the $5 in the envelope from the person who that's all they had to give was for $5 before I take your $1,000. Huh? And you think because you can write a check, because you can write a check, or because you know you're, well, you know, I'm up to date on my time, I'm up to date on my time. No! No! Because the minute the church makes a decision that's contrary to what you believe ought to be right, you decide you want to hold back the checkbook. Let me tell you something right now. That's between you and God. I know I ain't the pastor of nobody's church. Let me make this real clear, real quick to anybody that's listening. I will never be held hostage. let me, let, 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 let me, come on now. is going to be created. Come on now. She says they will write the check and then vote about it. She says, baby, you can't and will never be God's gift. That's right. That come on now. You can't be God's gift. But you want to sit back and try to punish the church because you're mad at the pastor? You want to punish the church because the pastor would let you go on with your ill-gotten, barely planned out program? So because the pastor wouldn't let you go forward with your bogus program, you would now want to withhold funds from the church? And then watch this. Not only do you withhold funds, you tell people, watch this now, you tell people that you're withholding funds. And then you tell other people not to give. That's what we do. That's what we do. Y'all know I ain't lying. Y'all know I ain't lying. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. Y'all know I ain't lying. But that's what we do. You think that your money is so powerful. Yeah, the big check is their power in the church. You're absolutely right. You think your money is so powerful, but you still understand the same God that gave you that money. Let me rephrase that. I'm not saying he gave it to you. The same God that allowed you to get that money, is the same God that will allow that money to leave you ever so quick. Huh? You don't believe me? Ask Job. Come here, Job. You don't believe me? And Job, watch this. And Job wasn't boasting about him and still lost him. Huh? So you better recognize that just because you can write said check, because he watched this, $1,000 might not be a sacrifice to you. Huh? And see, let me tell you how and why this stuff happens. This is why the small church mentality gets up, especially black folks, in so much trouble. When you're in a small church and you're struggling financially in a small church, when you're in a small church and you're struggling financially, those who give big tend to think that they're in charge. And see now, if you were $1,000, let me explain something to you right now. You had $1,000 check every month to your church, right? And you're in a small church. You're a big fish in a little pond. Huh? That's what you are. You are a big fish in a little pond. But then take yourself, your hips to a large church, you know, with about 600-700 members. And all of their members, the majority of their members are tithers, and they give their offering, and then they give beyond that. And then here you come with your little thousand, and then you get mad because of the pastor say, and you withhold your thousand. You think it's going to affect anything at the church? Let me help somebody. In the words of Seeley from, in the words of Miss Sophia, rather, from The Color Purple, hell no. Huh? Y'all didn't hear me? Miss Sophia said, I said, hell no. Your money don't mean, see, when you go to this, and that, but see, that's why you want to stay in the little small place. Because if I'm a big fish in a little pond, I got clout. When I'm a big fish in a little pond, they see me write my check. They see me hold up my envelope. Woo! They see me come in. They know what I do. They know me talk about it. I'm the loudest one clapping when they start talking about giving in the church. I'm the first one to clap. I'm the first one to do this. I'm the first one to volunteer. I get 200 pastors. But when you go to a larger church and you got folks writing $5,000 and $10,000 checks because that's what they freely give, and they're not begrudging because they want to see the ministry succeed. So you ought to give because you want to see the ministry succeed. I'm really not talking about money in church, but I'm talking about you all want to give so you can see the ministry succeed. I don't mean no harm. But you know, when we read that scripture all the time in the church. Right. And that's an error, Felicia. Oh my God, you're so right, Felicia Martin. Felicia Martin says sometimes the pastor lets the congregation know who the biggest givers are. And let me tell you something. That's a problem. If you want to do something at the end of the year, and you may feel differently about this. If you want to have a dinner for large donors or something like that, people who go beyond, that's fine. That's your personal preference. You do that. But what about the consistent givers? What about folks who say, you know what? It's a sacrifice for me to give you this $125 every 2 weeks or this $200 every 2 weeks, Pastor, but I'll write my check anyway because I want to see the ministry succeed. See, this is why I get so upset with the tradition of reading that tithe and offering scripture on Sunday morning, because I think we just do it out of tradition and we don't do it out of what it really means. Huh? I get so frustrated because we read it and we don't read it for understanding. We just read it because they read it and we got to keep reading it too. But that part of the scripture says, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now. That part of the scripture means bring the tithe to the storehouse so that there is meat here. Meaning that when the time comes, I can then go out and I can do things for ministry's sake. Not to get the pastor rich, not to get the preacher rich, not to get the preacher a new car, but for ministry. And you think because you want to hold back, oh man, it's packed, I'm not going to write a check this week. I'm mad at them because they didn't sing like a, I know they need this. Because here's the deal. You got people in churches right now. Let me tell you this, I'm going to move on. My God. You got churches that are in need for certain things right now, right? That they are in need for certain things right now. And then you have people in the church who could give and fix that thing right now. But they won't because they don't like who's in charge. Or they won't because they haven't been asked. No one has came to them and begged them and said, hey, you know. That's not freely given. Come on now. That's not freely given. You ought to want to give it because you know there is a need for it. If you got a church and the refrigerator goes out, right? The refrigerator goes out in the church. And you know your church is struggling. And for you to go to Sears or Best Buy or Lowe's or Menards or whatever you want to call it, or Sam's, Costco, because they all sell them, and you can go and just buy a refrigerator just like that to replace the one that went down, but you won't do it. See, that's giving. That's giving. Somebody set up and say, y'all know the refrigerator went out, and because of that, you know, we're going to shut down the food pantry. That's when you want to just say, you know what? You ain't got to watch this. You ain't even got to stand up and make no announcement. This is what you do. You pull somebody to the side and say, guess what? The refrigerator is going to be delivered on Tuesday. And you walk away and leave it at that. God will bless that. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. He will bless that because you saw a need and you stepped in and you filled the gap. You didn't need no applause. You didn't need them to say your name. You didn't need no special program. And God bless you. You don't need your name engraved on the side of the dang old refrigerator. We ain't got to put a chair. We ain't got to put your name on the back of a bench. We ain't got to put no special dedication. I ain't going to name the closet after you with a choir hand and robes up. Your name, and you did it because you just saw it was a need. Help me somebody. You did it because you just saw there was a need for it. Where are those people? Huh? Where are those people? Let's keep going. I know. I stayed on that a little too long. That was number five. My God, I stayed on that a little too long. That was number five. I'm sorry, yeah, that was number three. My God, let's go. Number four says this. Those who quote the Bible regularly, but never quite accurately. Uh-oh. Can I talk about it? Those who quote the Bible regularly, but not quite accurately. He says, some of us could write a book on misquoted Bible verses, often quoted only to support an argument. You ever had a deacon or a preacher or even a lay person in your church who gets up to speak on the microphone and they start off with a scripture every time But the scriptures, but you can tell by the way that they're using it that it's taken out of context. Here is a challenge that I would ask some of these people who quote scripture. I would ask them, first of all, where is the scripture? That's the first question I would ask. That scripture that you say all the time, where is it? Where is it? Because see, if you knowing where it is tells me at least you opened up your Bible. It means you're not just repeating it because you heard it. It means you opened it. And it means at some point you took the time to open up your Bible. Now, please tell me, then the next question you want to find out if they're true about this scripture, if they're living this scripture, the next question you ask them is this. Who was being talked to when said statement was made? Oh God. Oh God. Who was being talked to when said statement was made? Felicia, you gave me Matthew 6:4. Yes, God. Yes, God. Bless you, Felicia. Matthew 6:4 says, I'm going to read the English Standard Version for you. She says, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. My God. My God. I'm done with that part, but I had to go back and read that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's good. This is what the writer says. It's just amazing to me how we can run around and we can quote scripture, but we never know what it means. You got folk in church, every time something happens, so-and-so is this, but I'm going to look to the hills from which cometh my help. No, 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 and no. Ain't nothing about that got nothing to do with what you just said. Read for understanding, people. Read for understanding. Let's stop just being copycat. Let's stop being here's the quote of the day. Let's stop being scriptural and spiritual parrots. Yes, parrots. P-A-R-R-O-T-S, the verb. Let's stop being spiritual and biblical parrots. Meaning what, Dana? Let's just stop repeating what we heard somebody else say. See, a parrot will repeat what's said all day long. The parrot's brain is this big. They don't have a brain to conceive what they're saying. They just repeat it because they heard it so many times. They don't have a clue what it means. They just say it. And a whole lot of folk in church, help me, Holy Ghost, a whole lot of folk in church are just biblical parrots. You will get up and say and speak whatever you've been spoke over you, but never take the time to learn about what it means. For years, let me, confession. For years, and some of y'all could be guilty of this too. For years, when I was a kid in church, in the young adult choir in church, after every young adult choir rehearsal, after every Sunday school, after every meeting we had as a young adult, we always dismissed with this, may the Lord watch. Between me and thee, while we're absent, one from the other, watch. And that was our dismissal. And why did we dismiss? I don't know. I did not know. I was told to say it, and we said it so many times. We had to learn it. We had to learn it. We had to learn what that meant. May the Lord watch between me and thee, while we're absent, one from the other. We had to learn that. But watch this. We learned it, but never knew what it meant. We never knew what it meant. And we said it as kids. We said it every time after we dismissed from church. Every time. And I mean, we would be like, we would go on the circle. And whoever was next, whoever had said the week before, it was your turn to say it. And we would do it without fail. May the Lord watch between me and thee. Why would I ask one from the other? And just sit there and never know. And then, watch this. Never took the time to find out where that came from. Never took the time to find out where that came from. Or why it was being said. It wasn't said as a blessing. It wasn't said as something of encouragement. Y'all know what it is? Come on now. Do I got any Bible readers on today? Huh? About two warring tribes who had issues with each other, and they said, look here, we're going to put an altar right here, and you don't come across this side, and you don't come across this side. And may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from the other. That's what that simply meant. Don't you come through here. We make it a pledge. You don't come on my property, I don't come on yours. But we quote this mess as teenagers, using it as a tool for dismissing each other in prayer. Once again, just quoting stuff because somebody told us to. Not because we read it, not because we took the time to find out what it means, but just because we were told to say it. Parents. Biblical parents. Scriptural parents. Just saying verses because somebody said it. And I don't care if it was a preacher who told you. Did you check for yourself? Let me keep going. Number five. Those who see only the negative in the present, but remember only the positive in the past. Oh God. Ooh. Those who see only the negative in the present, but remember only the positive in the past. Somehow they develop new good memories of things they complained about in the past. The only positive stuff they know is stuff that used to happen. Y'all know folks like that in the church. The only positive thing they have is stuff that used to happen. You ask them something positive now, they will tell. Don't miss it. You ask them something positive now about the church, and they could not tell you. Isn't it funny? I love this. Right. Thank you, Betty. Exactly. People are still doing this today. Read it, the entire chapter. Right. Read what happened. What led up to that place? The place called Mizpah. M-I-Z. P-A, come on somebody, M-I-Z-P-A-H, I believe is the correct pronunciation. But it's a place. You got to learn how to follow. Y'all need to learn how to start studying and start studying the small stuff. Let me finish up with number five. Those who see only the negative in the present, they can point out everything wrong with what y'all doing today, but everything they did back in the day was right. Can I help somebody? If you were doing everything right back in the day, there would be fruit of such rightness. I'm gonna make up a word. Yeah. There would be fruit of if you were doing everything right back then in your church, then today your church would be harvesting the fruit from all of the labor that was done right back in the day. Let me say that again. If you were doing everything so right 40-something years ago in your church, 30-something years ago in your church, then there should be some fruit of said of what you were doing today. There ought to be some fruit of that. There ought to be what we call in the like what preachers like to say, there ought to be a remnant. Huh? Bless you, Mooney Johnson, for joining, and Deborah Deacon. God bless you. But it's just wonderful. I just find it so amazing how we have these what I call selective memories. Everything y'all are doing today is wrong. Everything we did was right. You know, it's kind of like our parents used to say. You know, all the stuff that they did and all the stuff that we did, all the stuff that they did versus the stuff that we did. You know, you follow me, you know what I'm saying? I just find it interesting that's the way people are acting today. Who got? Okay, that was number five. Number six says. those who complain, come on now, my God. Those who complain because the church isn't growing, but haven't shared Christ or invited anyone to church in years. Y'all got it? Now, I know, I'm not talking to the folk on Facebook because I know y'all saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and y'all go to churches that are saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. So this might not apply to you. But do y'all know anybody who complained that your church ain't growing, but at the same time, they ain't invited nobody in years? The writer says they see it as somebody else's responsibility to reach the community. You see it as somebody else's job. Oh, that's the evangelistic team's job. It ain't my job to invite folks to church. That's the evangelistic ministry. But then you complain about the evangelistic ministry, but your behind ain't been out on the street corner since y'all marched in the building. Huh? You complain about the church not growing, but you ain't did nothing. You put no input into helping get anybody into the building. None. You've done nothing to help me, Holy Ghost. Nothing. But more than a stumbling block. Come on. Let's keep going. I got 10 minutes. Then that was number six. Number seven says, Number seven says, those who lead publicly but live a different life privately. The writer says, sometimes that life isn't even so private. Actually, too many churches allow this person to keep serving far too long. Woo! I could have said that at y'all feet. Y'all got folks who lead publicly, but privately they live in a different home type of situation. Publicly, they can tell you everything that's wrong with you. Privately, they hold house to us. Huh? Publicly, they can point out all of your mess in your situation. Privately, they barely can sleep at night. Oh, God. Publicly, they can tell you what's wrong with your house, with your relationship, with your children, with what's wrong with your kids. They can tell you what's wrong with everything in your house. But privately, their house and their lives are in utter turmoil. Huh? Y'all got anybody got folks like that in their church? I ain't talking about y'all. I mean, y'all go to super saved churches. Y'all church is holy and full of the Holy Ghost, and everybody is a spiritual saint, and y'all do backflips, and y'all talk in tongues, and y'all speak and all of that stuff. And oh, God, yeah. Y'all do all of that. I'm not talking to y'all. I'm talking about folks who go to regular churches and got people who are in leadership positions. Huh? You lead marriage ministry. But you moving your wife behind at home. Don't miss that. Huh? You over the drug abuse ministry, but you stop it at the corner to pick yours up on the way home. Don't miss that. What? Huh? I didn't hear nobody. You telling folks about what's this and what's that, but you stealing from your job. Huh? No, I don't hear nobody. You trying to tell folk about sister so you telling everybody and their mama about brother so and so who's sleeping with sister so and so. How be up? You got three over here and four over there. I don't want to hear nobody. Let me move on before I get my hope. God. Woo, God. Don't get me started. God bless you. God bless the police and more. Come on now. Right. Come on. Y'all know I ain't lying. You said they speak in tongues and do backflips. Yeah, they do. Know everybody's different. But you ain't been to their house to see them. Ooh, God. Let me go. Number eight says this. Those who talk about the importance of a church family, even while they church hop. I thought that was going somewhere else, but it did. He says, those who talk about the importance of a church family, even while they church hop. The Bible says this. They seem to see family as important as long as things go their way. Oh, God. They seem to see family as important as long as you cannot. Can I make that plain for somebody who might not understand? Can I give you the DLK version? You know, they got all these different versions. Huh? That's why I tried. Can I help somebody? Thank you, Pat. I know I got an amen somewhere. Hey, Pat, look, I can't step on nobody else's toes without stepping on my own. But look here. They talk about the importance of a church family, but it's as long as you get along with them. You know how the Bible got the KJV version and the ESV version and the NASB and the NIV? Can I give y'all the DLK version of your baby? The DLK version, yeah, that's me. The DLK version number 8 means, yeah, we family as long as you don't disagree with me. Huh? I don't hear what you're saying. Oh, yeah, you my cousin, you my uncle, you my auntie, hey, nephew, you all of that as long, you my grandson, you my granddaughter, you my whatever. You all of that as long as you agree with me. Don't miss it, huh? As long as you don't ever disagree with me, as long as you are a bobbing head dog, y'all know what a bobbing head dog does, right? It never goes no. Bobbing head dogs never say no. They just go like this the whole time. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Uh-huh. Yeah. As long as you are a bobbing head dog, they're your family. As long as you agree. But the minute you disagree, oh no, now you're a troublemaker. Now you are, can I use this term? A rabble rouser. That just popped in my head. Y'all break up, y'all know I got issues. But you know what I'm saying? Church folk always want to talk about how important family is as long as you are agreeing with them. Because the first time you disagree with them in the church setting, in a business meeting, hell, if you disagree at the dinner table, they might decide, well, you know, he really ain't part of my family. You know, his mom married into the family. That's why I don't get caught up. Let me help somebody right now. That's why I don't get caught up in family mess. DNA, can I say this? I'm going to move on because I know my producer is going to shut me down real quick. That's why I don't care about DNA. Blood type don't make you family. DNA don't make you family. DNA, watch this. DNA simply makes you relate. That's all it does. We share the same DNA. That simply means that we relate. That's it. Don't make us family. It does not make you family. It just makes you relate. I would take that somewhere else, but I ain't. But I just want to help somebody today. Because some of y'all got some folk in y'all family that's messy as hell. Can I help somebody? Messy as hell. And y'all know they're messy as hell. And y'all tolerate them because you probably even need them for something or whatever. Guess what? Just because y'all share DNA, just because y'all got the same grandmama at the top of the family tree, don't make you family. It just means that somewhere down the line, y'all's grandmama and their granddaddy, somebody got together. That's all that means. Don't make you, don't, it just makes you related. It don't make you family. My God, I got to hurry up. Ooh, I got 4 minutes. Who done? Number nine. Those who welcome a new pastor with great ideas until that pastor actually tries to implement those ideas. What they affirmed in the dating stage, they reject after the honeymoon is over. Oh, my God. Can I help somebody real quick? I wish I had the time to do this. But y'all know, the pastor come in and he got all these new ideas. And all this stuff, and y'all clap, y'all do backflips in the pulpit when he say, and we gonna do this and that. But the minute he starts the implementation process, because guess what? To implement said plan, your little version, come on now, what you've been doing that don't work, we're gonna have to stop doing that. So you know, we talk about, we want to build a youth ministry, right? And there's this room that's really not being used. Or it's not being used properly, so we want to take that room for our youth. Well, that's my room. I've been in that room for 25 years. And but you know what? You clapped when we said we wanted to start this youth ministry, and this is the room we need. And guess what? But now, oh no. See, that's what we do. That's how we act. That's what we do in the church. We want the pastor's ideas until the pastor's ideas start to step on what we do. Huh? We want the ideas as long as said ideas don't stop what I want to do. As long as I can keep doing what I want to do, then come on with your idea. But if your idea means, oh, wait a minute, oh, well, you know that bake sale we used to have, so we're not doing that no more. What do you mean? They love my cookies.
Uh-huh, right.
Where's cookies? Let me go, I gotta go. Number 10 says this. Those who say Jesus loves everybody,
uh-huh,
but want only people like them in the church.
Now that's for itself.
Those who say Jesus loves everybody, but they only want people like them in the church. The writer says this. Apparently they think they can love others from a distance and be like Jesus.
Oh God. That's what for itself.
The writer concludes with this. He simply says, here's the challenging part of this post. Though we pastors are called to love everybody, including the walking contradictions in our congregation, our loving consistency for all is a witness of the gospel. You have to be consistent across the board. My God. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the time we've had, God. We hope that someone was enlightened, that someone was entrenched with what was shared today, God. We hope that this article is planted into the hearts of those who are listening, God. We hope that it was planted on good ground and that it produces good fruit and is shared amongst the masses. Right now, God, we ask you to bless every listener who's listening via Blog Talk Radio. God, we ask you to bless every viewer who viewed via Ustream. We ask you to bless every viewer who viewed via Facebook. God, we ask you to bless every listener who's listening on their phone right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, y'all, this has been good. It's been fun. But, hey, I got to go. Time is up. Y'all stay blessed. In the words of the good pastor, Michael Bernard Henderson, y'all be sweet. And if you got to drive through this city, keep your head on the swivel. Got to go, y'all. Keep the yellow. Peace.
I just have to personally and right through here thank the rest of the what a gift. You know, I just believe that God has the right person for the right person to make the right connection. And I've had many producers and many times that I've recorded. This man picked up my spirit, my God consciousness, that I feel what you feel, even what you're going through in your life. This man could be anywhere. The world is calling for him, and I thank God he came to see about little old me. Come on, let's thank God for Minister. Ah! Woo! Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So we've come to tell you tonight, be blessed. In fact, just look at three people around you, tell them, be blessed. Be blessed.